the Smart Women Publish podcast. I'm your host, Bev Ryan. I'm the author of the book Smart Women Publish, and I provide book coaching and publishing services for smart women who want to write and publish nonfiction books that have an impact in the world and also a great impact in their own lives. So today I'm really excited to have a guest speaking with me from Costa Rica. So welcome, Emily Pereira.
Oh, hello, Bev. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I'm loving this technology where we can hook up at all times of the day and have some really interesting conversations. Now, most of our conversation today will be about your book and how you used a platform Publicizer to fund your book. But first of all, just tell us about what you're doing in Costa Rica as a business when the world is normal, not like during the virus period that you and I are recording this in.
Absolutely. Well, I'm an international retreat leader, yoga teacher, and also women's coach, specializing in helping women call really aligned love into their lives. And as you mentioned, I am also the author of the forthcoming book, The Quest, From the Hollywood Hills to the Amazon Jungle, One Woman's Search for Enough. So all of those pieces have been building over a number of years, over the past 13 years on my own journey. And how I really got to Costa Rica is I had been coaching for a number of years and I decided that I wanted to start leading retreats. And I started a retreat called the Mermaid Sisterhood. And it's really a combination of all of the most powerful, potent healing modalities that I've discovered. So there's yoga and writing, daily writing workshops, surfing lessons, sweat lodge, dance, breath work, spirituality, different wellness practices, healthy eating, really a combination of a bunch of different things that just are really meant to return a woman to her core essence. And I was on my surfboard on a retreat on the last day of the retreat here in Costa Rica. And I just had a thought that I'm never happier. I never feel better than I am when I'm in Costa Rica. And so I whispered a little intention to the wind. I remember it was just sort of an unconscious moment, but I was like, I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I'm going to live here someday. And fast forward a few months later, it was right before my 38th birthday and I didn't really have anything going on. And so I decided to take a little solo trip to Costa Rica to write and to surf. And on that trip, I fell in love with my life partner. And he had been living here for 10 years already. He's from France, but he had been living here. And he invited me to come back. And so that was 4 years ago. And now we have our home in the jungle. We live on 3 acres of untouched jungle land. And we are building the Sunrise Mountain Retreat and Wellness Center.
Fabulous. And do you have children? Did I read that somewhere?
We do. We have a 2.5-year-old and I'm about to give birth to baby number 2 in 3 weeks.
Oh, amazing. Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's such an awesome story. Because in your bio, you said that you specialize in helping women call heart-thumping, passionate, aligned love into their lives. And I think I read that on your website as well. So is that what you feel you did?
Yes. Oh, I absolutely transformed my own love story 180 degrees. It was not always the happy story that it is now. And so I feel very called to help other women change their love stories as well. So I do that through one-on-one coaching. I'm developing a longer group coaching program right now. And in the future, when our retreat centers open, we'll have dedicated retreats just for that, as well as, you know, different detox retreats and really a whole plethora of different options.
Oh, that's fabulous. I mean, that's a whole conversation in itself. That could be a podcast in itself. But I'm sure so many people would be fascinated in how to do that. It's such a real dilemma for so many people. But so your book, The Quest, does that align perfectly with what you're doing with your business?
It does. It does. Well, The Quest is the first of 3 books in the trilogy. And so The Quest is really the beginning of my journey. And the beginning of my spiritual journey, I would say, I was in my late 20s. And it started with a good old-fashioned breakdown that became a really spectacular breakthrough. And so The Quest is really the story of this girl, me, who really has a life that looks amazing on paper, but she's not very satisfied in it. And so the whole thing kind of crumbles and burns to the ground. And she has a very narrow perspective on life back in those days. And so she can't really see the forest through the trees and is really in a lot of despair, and she's heartbroken, but she just connects with a spiritual teacher who starts to help her see the world and herself in a very different way, and things start to change. So I think what makes The Quest unique is that it's sort of like a highly entertaining self-help book, because it's written as memoir. So it's like a page turner, and it's interesting, and it's easy to read, but it's this compendium of extraordinary wisdom that's being delivered.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. So when you wrote it, did you write it in first person as or was it third person? But it's really you.
It's first person.
Okay, good, great. So I love the tagline for it. So The Quest is the title, then the subtitle: From the Hollywood Hills to the Amazon Jungle, One Woman's Search for Enough. That really jumped off the page to me. One Woman's Search for Enough. It's really fascinating. So what do you mean by that? Because I know how I read that.
Yes. Well, what I mean by it is, you know, before I had, you know, in the beginning part of the book, it's like I have this life that just looks amazing on paper. And it's, you know, I was number one in my company at a top Fortune company, senior sales consultant, you know, winning all these awards and these fat commission checks. My long-term 6-year-long boyfriend just sold his company for almost $500 million. And we live in a beautiful penthouse right on the ocean. Mm-hmm. And it never felt like it was enough. Wow. For some crazy reason. I mean, I through The Quest, I start to understand why that is, but it never felt like it was enough. And so as the narrator, I go on this really wild journey that takes me, you know, I'm living in the Hollywood Hills and all of this excess and sort of abundance that is, you know, referred to in the traditional sense. And then I lose all of that and find a different path, and I find sort of where the true abundance lives.
Right. So that's all outlined in your book. Oh, fascinating.
And part of that journey takes me deep into the Amazon jungle, where I'm with tribal people and participating in their ceremonies and really seeing things from different perspectives.
Fabulous. So how many years roughly does The Quest cover?
Well, there's flashbacks. So sure. the way that the book is written is it starts in present time and then it flashes back to 6 years earlier. Mm-hmm. And so that goes on for maybe, I want to say 6 chapters, actually, until the Australia chapter. I go to Australia on this search,
right.
On this search for enough. And then it merges together into one story that then continues on for probably about 5 more years. So probably with the flashbacks spans between about 11 years. But of course, there's some retrospectives into my childhood and things like that as well.
Great. Oh, fantastic. I usually work with women writing nonfiction, mostly books to do with their business. But I know there's a lot of people who want to write memoirs, but memoirs that also connect well with their business. So it's not always an easy thing to do. So how did you find the writing process?
You know, the writing part was the most effortless part of the whole experience for me.
Right.
I mean, I feel like the book almost wrote itself, which was kind of amazing to me, because before I started writing this book, I hadn't written anything in 11 years besides emails and maybe like the occasional thank you letter.
Yeah.
So I was really disconnected from this creative power that was living inside of me. And this was really part of the quest. And I had reached a point in the story where, you know, so I had the ex-boyfriend and I had broken up and I went through a lot of trauma. I lost all my old friends, my life as I knew it. And I had to go through some hard moments and I made some really big shifts in perspective and changes that allowed me to sort of create a new life in a pretty short time period, relatively speaking. And so I had a new beautiful home and a new beautiful man and new beautiful friends and all of like the stuff of life. Mm-hmm. And I was waking up in the middle of the night, like in anxiety, just like, what is missing? Like, what? It was just this horrible feeling of just something big was still missing. It wasn't enough. Yeah. And when I was working with this teacher at the time, and he just said to me, he was a clairvoyant energy healer, and he said to me, "You're a writer." He's like, "You need to write your story." He's like, "If you never show it to anyone, it's going to heal your heart." And when he said that, I still remember this day like it was yesterday. We were on the phone. I felt like someone did a tap dance on my heart. And I just blurted out, "You know what? I am a writer." And I was like, "Who the heck said that?" Like, oh, wow. I haven't written anything in all these years. Like, you know, although writing growing up was always my favorite thing. And I, as a kid, always had my nose in a book, you know, like sit on the pool step and read 3 books a day kind of yeah. kid. Yeah. And so I was like, well, I don't even know how to start, thinking he's going to say, take a course at UCLA Extension or do an online program. And he just goes, "You just set an intention for the next 30 days before you go to bed that you're recovering your innate creativity." And I was like, all right, well, that sounds a little hokey, but you know, I had nothing to lose. So I did it. And I, you know, he gifted me with this shift in perspective that, you know, when it comes to the creative process, what I found really kills creativity is judgment. Judgment energy is so dense, it blocks the light-free frequency of creativity. And so really this concept that we can just give ourselves permission to be beginners, that, you know, beginner's mind, mm-hmm. not that you're necessarily a true beginner, you may be writing for 30 years, but allowing yourself to go back into that mind of the beginner, like the child, that's when our creativity blossoms. And so I did that. I tried that. I gave myself permission to just be the beginner. And I was just amazed that the words flowed freely. I mean, they just like poured out of me. And I remember, I still remember that first week having a moment where I just broke down in tears and I was like, I'm going to be okay. Like, this feels so good to be writing. Mm-hmm. Wow. And the next thing I knew, it was like, the floodgates burst open and all of a sudden creative passion was like coursing through my whole body. And I literally did not think I had a creative bone in my body. So this is a big part of the quest. But I started to play guitar and sing and write songs. I started to paint paintings, do improv, dance, burlesque, like all of these different creative things started just pouring out of me. And it really changed the entire course of my life. So I absolutely loved the writing process. And before I knew it, I wrote 600 pages.
Wow, that's fabulous. I love this. I'm just listening to that in trance. So it's like your soul came alive. It was in there somewhere, but it wasn't living.
Absolutely. And I really feel that with the women that I work with. And this is why daily writing workshops are a really important part of the retreat, because I really, truly believe we are all writers. We are all storytellers. Even if we're not putting pen to paper, fingers to keyboard, we tell stories, you know, and stories just have sustained us over centuries. And so I've just found the written word to be so incredibly healing. And the writing of that book really allowed me to write myself a new story of my life.
Fabulous. That's wonderful. So what I would like to hear about now is your journey through crowdfunding. Now, I'm not sure if I do speak to people now and then about the platform called Publishizer, and not a lot of people have heard of it. So how did you find it? I'd love to hear the story of Publishizer.
Absolutely. Well, remember how I said the writing of the book was so effortless?
Yes.
The business of the book has been anything but. Mm-hmm. So my book is coming out November 6th, and I started writing it I got my book deal this February, and it was exactly 10 years to the day of when I started writing that book.
Really?
Yes. So I wrote the book in 3 years, and for the past 7 years, it's been the business of the book. And I've gotten close many times, and I had 3 traditional book agents, and different weird things happened with each of them, where it didn't work out or it fell through. And so, I took the route, because my book was 600 pages, I hired someone to help me freelance edit it and bring it down to 300 pages. So I was going the traditional route for quite a while. And then I just kind of got, I was getting frustrated. And I had a girlfriend who did a Publicizer campaign, and she reached out to me to support her in it. And I was like, this is an interesting concept. And so I had a book agent at the time when she sent it to me, but I just had connected with maybe like 3 months earlier. And then I just didn't like the direction that he wanted me to go in. And so I ended up breaking my contract with him in late June. And I literally talked to Lee, who's the founder of Publicizer, in July, and launched my campaign on August 1st. So I had 1 month to pull it together. And it was just, I was actually, my husband is French and we were in Europe, and it was just like, okay, I have 1 month to pull this together. So I just decided, what the heck, I'm going for it. I'm taking the power back. I'm not going to wait for other people to tell me this is good or this isn't good or this is saleable or not. It's time for me to just to go for it.
Can I ask, are you talking about just starting with Publicizer last year, 2019 or yes. earlier? Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah.
And it was almost just the way that it happened. It was so fast. I almost didn't even have time to think about it. You know, it was just like, okay, let's go. Cause Lee was like, the campaign is going to launch on August 1st. And so you need to, you've got like 4 weeks to pull it together, 3 weeks to put it together.
All right. So let's just finally hear a bit more about that. So who's Lee?
So Lee is the founder of Publicizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he happens to be an Aussie, doesn't he? I think he's Australian.
Is he Australian?
Well, maybe he's not. No. I just know there is a connection from Australia with Publicizer in the early days, but I think it's evolved so much over the time as well. So when you say pull it together in a month, what are you pulling together?
Well, you have to create your campaign. So you need to make a promotional video, and then you need to come up with your offerings. So if you're familiar with crowdfunding, it's like, you know, want to support, like in this case, if people want to support the book, there's different options. So, you know, the lowest price option would be $21 if they just want to buy the book. Mm-hmm. And then say they want to buy the next option up, which is $40, they get two books plus a companion guide. Sure. Or something like that that I create. Yeah. And then I needed to create a bunch of different offerings that would then correspond to different numbers of books purchased. Mm-hmm. And where the campaign went far better than I expected. I actually, there was a contest and I won the contest. Mm-hmm. And I really found that it's very difficult to sell books just one by one. Mm-hmm. Even people that you think are totally your supporters. I mean, people that came to my baby shower, people yes. that have been on retreats, like they're not really interested in just buying a book. But people are very interested in buying courses and programs at discounted prices. So where I was able to be really successful was I offered my one-on-one coaching program at 50% off, and I was able to sell that to, I think, maybe six people. Mm-hmm. And that was selling for about $1,600. So then I think that corresponded, you know, to like 200 books or something, you know, I can't remember now the exact conversion. Mm-hmm. But and then I offered a few spots at a discounted rate on one of my retreats. And then I offered two private retreats here at my house in Costa Rica that were customizable. So that was really, if somebody wants to do a Publicizer campaign, it's all about creating those higher ticket programs that you're willing to give away yeah. essentially for, you know, for free, but towards the book.
Awesome. Yeah. Cause I had a look at your page and you've got some fabulous offerings, and I think you make a really good point. All those people who say, yeah, I can't wait for your book to come out, I'll buy it. They're not necessarily going to buy it. So the proof is kind of when the money gets paid. But like you said, people, if the book is part of something much bigger than that, and in your case it is, you've got these wonderful programs and courses and things to offer, that's where you will have some success, it seems to me.
Yeah, and I think it was a great learning too, just for when the book actually does launch, because I'm not counting on just selling books like one by one, like again, and creating programs. And this model really works for anyone, even if you're not doing a Publicizer campaign, but you're just launching a book, yeah. you know, creating, you know, a program that they get for free when they pre-order the book or something like that is going to be far more compelling and high value to somebody on the other side.
Yeah, definitely. So with the campaigns, it gets set up on the publisher website, and then that has to be promoted, obviously, to a bigger audience. So did you do most of that yourself?
Yeah, you do it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So just through Instagram, my email list, Facebook, private messages. You definitely have to have thick skin. as you know from publishing a book. I mean, it's not so much that people, I don't think, don't want to support you, but they just, it's not high on their priority list, you know? So it's, you know, people are driving carpool and trying to get dinner ready and get to a yoga class. And it's like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then maybe they don't. And so it's sort of just like not taking those things personally and following up and that's kind of stuff.
So did you devote a lot of time to that while the campaign was running?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was promoting a lot, trying to find that balance between not being annoying on posting and social media and sending messages, and also being strategic. You know, there had been some people that reached out to me the month before the campaign about coaching, and I just told them, you know, like, I'm full right now, but let's talk again in early August. And then when early August rolled around, I said, well, you know, actually I'm doing this unique thing, and if you want to do it, I'll actually give you this discount. So kind of just thinking like three steps ahead when it comes to your audience and your business. But if you have a business, if you have sort of a service-based consulting business in some way, and you know you want to do a publicize your campaign, it's a great way to a great thing you can do is sort of like put people on a waiting list and kind of like drive them into that campaign window. And then you can close them with, you know, this major discount that they're getting.
Which is a win-win.
Yeah. It's a win-win for everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Publishizer platform, and for anyone listening, that's spelled PublishizerE.com. With that platform, it's evolved to the point where publishing houses are kind of embedded in the system, and they are looking out for people like you who've potentially got a successful book, and they make offers to you. So how did that work for you?
Yeah, so after the campaign was over, so if you have a successful campaign, there's sort of like three different tiers of success. And the first one is if you get, I think it's over 1,000 pre-orders, then the guys that are running Publishizer, Lee, they'll become your book agent. Mm-hmm. And advocate for you. And they have relationships with the different publishing houses. And so they'll then send out your campaign and your proposal and anything else to the different publishing houses. And then also some of the publishing houses will reach out to you on their own, just directly, because they're keeping an eye on the campaign, and they see that you had a successful campaign, and you know, proof of market is everything to them. Mm. And so, I had a combination of different people reach out to me directly, and then also Lee securing, the offer that I eventually decided to take came through Lee.
So that's with Lifestyle Entrepreneurs Press, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So then you've taken the self-publishing route. Are you still self-publishing, or are they then becoming your publisher?
No, I'm not self-publishing. They're publishing for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So financially the campaign was successful, those funds come to you, and the publishing house takes care of the costs of publishing. Sorry, am I digging too deep here? Sorry, but I'm just curious how it all works, and I'm sure the listeners are curious about that as well. That's fabulous.
You have a choice. Like, it depends. There was options. You could just have them like pick up the whole thing, or you can have a higher stake in the royalties and sure, pay a little bit in the front.
Okay, nice. So it's just such a great system. I think it's wonderful. So would you recommend other people give it a go? I know not everybody does succeed with this Publishizer platform, or with any crowdfunding. It's not guaranteed success. I guess what would the tips be for a listener? What would you recommend that they do so their chance of success is higher?
You know, It's so hard to say like that there's one formula because for me, like on paper, I was surprised that I didn't, that it was as hard as it was and that like I didn't get a book deal just like straight up because I mean, I'm not huge online, but I have like 25,000 Instagram followers, you know, maybe like 20,000 Facebook. I have a community, you know, of people that are like, I have an audience and, you know, the numbers that the publishing industry wants to see are so high, you know, and so if you feel like you've gone the route, the traditional route of trying to secure an agent and it's not working out, I would say this is a good second option, you know, it's a good second option, but it's a good option for, if you have a little bit of an audience,
if you don't
have an audience, you might not get very far with it.
So it's almost like you have to have your, well, it's ideally you have your own platform already and set this up and then go back and speak to your platform.
Yeah. I mean, because essentially if you don't have people that are willing, they're ready and willing to buy your services, you're not going to get very many pre-sales. And then Publishizers is going to put you into one of the lower buckets, which is going to go, okay, you can self-publish here. So the lowest one is self-publish. The second one is hybrid publish. And the third one is like getting more of a traditional deal. I ended up going with a more hybrid one in the end, even though I got traditional offers because it just seemed to actually seem better at the end of the day in terms of the deal. But yeah, it takes some hustle. It takes some hustle and some creativity, and it is a bit confronting, just the process in terms of just asking your community for support.
Sure, yeah. So, and I'm sure that, as you said before, the value lies in what comes with the book, not just the book.
Exactly.
Fabulous. And I know Lee is, and within Publishers, not just Lee, but I know that Lee, I mean, they give so much support, don't they? They sort of coach the authors how to set up the page on Publishizer, how to put the things together to build up their campaign. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a really positive experience with Publishizer and Lee and everybody who works there. I found them to be really professional and really knowledgeable. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty much on you to create your stuff. They'll give you some examples of other people's campaigns that have been successful. But, you know, for me, I created a video that I think creating a compelling video is a really important aspect, you know, where you're not just like sitting there, like talking straight to the camera, but you're adding in some flair and some creativity and some B-roll and some things like that. I think that really helps.
Yeah. And I mean, just in terms of book marketing, outside of Publishizer as well, all of those things are really essential, aren't they, to build up and just to show quality and value and interest. Take the time to, I guess, take time to appeal to your potential readers in a professional and warm and engaging way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole concept of Publishizer is really revolutionary. And I think that it's just going to continue to grow over the years because it's basically like saying, okay, the front door is closed, the back door is locked. How am I going to get in? And Publishizer is like the third door.
Yes. No, it's a brilliant concept, that's what I'm trying to say. So what's next for you apart from a baby and a book? Well, that is what's next for you.
A lot of birthing energy this year.
Yes.
Yeah, just trying to, you know, keep perspective and stay in gratitude during this really interesting time to be alive on the planet. And just focusing to having a hopefully easeful, healthy birth. And then, just really putting a lot of pieces in place to launch the book in November in a powerful way.
Fabulous. Well, I would love to hear about it and spread the word when the book's ready to be promoted. Is there any way people can express an interest at this point? Or
well, I'm just now sort of, I just saw the first graphics of the cover. So we're just, it's just going to be starting to go to print soon. But my website is emilypereira.com. And so people can sign up for updates and my newsletter there if there's an interest. And then, and I'm also on Instagram at Emily Begins.
Emily Begins. Oh, lovely. I like that.
Yes. Staying in theme with being the beginner.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous. Okay, look, it's been wonderful to speak with you, Emily, and I'm so happy we got to organise these times. And I've loved your story. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I can see that you add so much value to the world. And thank you for being here.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me.
So I'm Bev Ryan, and you can find me at smartwomenpublish.com.